Hi. I'm Jack, your new associate rector, and I am thrilled to be here with you. I love Christmas pageants. I love the joy, the energy, and above all, I love the unpredictability. You never know for sure what's going to happen. In the last few years alone, I've seen twin angels playing tug-of-war with a cincture mid-pageant. A shepherd who brought an empty wrapping paper roll to use as a staff and then began to use it as a bazooka. Renegade angels running up and down the aisle until their father stretched out his arm and scooped them up. And a sheep who attached herself firmly to one of the magi and held on for the entirety of the journey to Bethlehem. In Christmas pageants, the adults are never completely in control. And that unpredictability seems just right for celebrating the incarnation. From our vantage point some 2,000 years on, we know exactly how things will go. And so we approach this birth, as we should, with joy and hope and expectation. But for Mary and Joseph, I suspect that it was also harrowing. If you look closely, death and danger lurk around the edges of this story. Some of it is simply the nature of life. There's risk in every pregnancy, in every birth, and especially in this time and place. And life is so fragile in those first days and weeks. And the birth of this child carries more than the usual risk and danger. Among the gifts of the Magi is myrrh. And to quote the bleak poetry of the hymn, it breathed a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. Already, at this joyful birth, Good Friday is looming. Because the birth of this child is also the birth of a new creation, which is to say, a threat to things as they are. Jesus is born to the reign of King Herod, a Roman appointee who is known for his massive building projects and his brutal tyranny. When these magi arrive in Jerusalem, asking for directions to the child-born king, they unwittingly tip off Herod that his reign is in danger. And as soon as Herod catches wind of it, he springs into action, consulting the experts, summoning the Magi, ordering them to report back under the pretense of wanting to pay him homage, all the while scheming about how to get rid of this baby. Today's gospel ends with the Magi's overwhelming joy, but also foreboding. The wise men wise up and take a different route home, one that doesn't pass through Jerusalem. But the danger isn't over. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus flee their home under the cover of night to escape Herod and take refuge in the strange land of Egypt. And when the Magi don't return, Herod is furious. He orders the killing of all children age 2 and under in the region of Bethlehem. This story is shocking and horrifying, but it's not really surprising, because people who are vulnerable, especially children, are routinely treated as pawns by people in power. And also, because King Herod is awfully familiar. He's cut from the same exact cloth as Pharaoh in Egypt before him, and Caesar in Rome after him, and so many others. His actions are horrifying, but predictable. He's got the same motivations, the fear, the terror of losing his position, and the vast power and wealth that come with it. And this makes him paranoid and dangerous. He responds from the same old tyrant playbook, turning his sizable resources toward self-protection. like Pharaoh before him, who fears the growing Hebrew population and orders all the Hebrew babies killed. Like Caesar, who orders crucifixion for anyone who would challenge him. Herod will do whatever it takes to eliminate the threat. It's absurd, when you think about it, that Herod views a baby as a threat. And that is precisely the point. The way that God operates is the exact opposite of the way that Herod operates. Herod hoards his power and wealth. He jealously guards his position. He achieves his purposes by control and coercion and violence. God longs to draw the world with all its death and danger into God's arms, to reshape and refashion it into the world that God intended. But God doesn't get there by coercion or force. The birth of Jesus is the story of God emptying God's self of power and control and becoming human. And not just human, but an infant, excruciatingly vulnerable and utterly dependent. And not just an infant, but the child of poor parents from a small village in an occupied country. God gives God's self over into Mary's womb, into Joseph's arms, into an anxious and dangerous world. And we are called to this way too. Because even as I recognize Herod and Pharaoh and Caesar, I also recognize him in me. Not in the violence or the willingness to do whatever it takes, but in the fear, the anxiety, the impulse to hoard power and hang on to control. This has been especially clear to me in the last few months as I've transitioned out of my job at St. Elizabeth's and handed over leadership and responsibility. And everything I did to keep things running exactly as they were, my way, which is to say the right way. But to hoard power and to hang on to control, even when it's done with the best intentions, is to resist God's new creation. And ultimately, it is futile. Everything Herod and Pharaoh and Caesar did to hang on to their power, all of it ultimately failed. We Easter people know that it is this vulnerable baby, this self-emptying way of God that prevails, defeating even the worst that these tyrants can do. So this gospel asks of us, how are we wielding our power? Are we hoarding it? Hanging on to control? How can we give our power away or share it with those who don't have it? As individuals, for me, with my priesthood, for us as St. John's, or as the church. This is why I really love Christmas pageants. They are excellent practice, because each year, as we celebrate God's self-emptying, God's surrender of power and control, we adults give up our power and control. We put the gospel, with all its preciousness and power, in the hands of our children. It's messy and chaotic and unpredictable. And it's precisely in these kinds of self-emptying moments that the new creation is born. Amen.